Home values and interest rates remain high, and that's leading some parents to consider becoming a bank for their kids. I am Rob West. On paper, it makes sense. If you have the resources to give your adult child a loan to buy a house, it seems like a great idea. But is it? Are there pitfalls? We'll explore that idea today, and then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Of course, there are two reasons a parent might want to lend money to a child to buy a house. The first, obviously, is to reduce the amount of interest the child must pay. The parent might be able to make the loan at a below-market rate. More on that a bit later. Second, the child may not qualify for a loan from a mortgage lender. He or she might have an unfavorable debt-to-income ratio, meaning too much of their gross monthly income is going to pay the debt they already have. Or they simply might not have enough credit history or a high enough credit score. This is where some parents may decide to help by becoming their kid's mortgage lender. It's natural to want to help family members, and God's Word tells us we should. 1 Timothy 5:8 reads, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." But does the providing called for in that verse include lending money? It's one thing to help someone with a financial gift, quite another to lend money. Both must be carefully considered to determine whether they'll actually help the recipient or harm them by discouraging their own efforts to earn needed money. It's important for adult children to achieve financial independence. You want to make sure you're not encouraging them to remain dependent. A financial gift or even a loan could possibly do that. Lending can also lead to additional problems. What if they don't pay it back? What if you need the money you loaned, but now you can't get it back because the kids can't or won't make their payments? How will that affect the relationship? Badly, no doubt. That's why it's often better to simply make the money a gift rather than a loan. That way you're not expecting it to be paid back and there's no risk to the relationship. Of course, most parents aren't in a position to buy their kids a house. There's another potential downside to lending kids mortgage money, whether you're charging them interest or not. It's the opportunity cost. How much more could that money earn over time if it were put into a properly diversified portfolio? Probably a lot more than the interest you'd be willing to charge your kids. And that could mean the interest you charge them, if any, will be below the current market rate. That means the difference between what you're charging and the market rate will be considered a gift by the IRS. If that amount exceeds $18,000 a year, you'll have to file IRS Gift Form 709 with your tax return, but it won't result in more tax. The amount will just count against your lifetime gift tax exclusion of $13.61 million. And finally, there's one more downside to lending to kids for a home purchase. Since it's a private loan, their payments won't be reported to the credit bureaus and won't do anything to lengthen their credit history or increase their credit score. That means if they have to borrow for anything else, such as a car purchase, they'll end up with a higher interest rate or not qualify at all. But if they're saving thousands and thousands in mortgage interest, that trade-off is probably worth it. Now, after all this, you probably think we're dead set against loaning money to kids for a home purchase. That's not the case. We just want you to have the facts and be prepared for whatever might happen as a result. So let's say you decide to make the loan. Now what? Is it with a handshake, a verbal agreement like, "Mom and Dad, you buy us a house and we'll pay you X number of dollars a month"? No. You need to make this official and legal. For one thing, the IRS requires it, so you may want to have an attorney draw up a legally binding contract, just like a commercial lender would have to do. That contract will specify the amount of money borrowed, the interest rate to be charged, the term of the loan, and what the monthly payment will be. Also, what penalty will result from late payments of a specified time, usually 30 days. Now that's important, but the agreement will also specify that the home is collateral for the loan and that you, the lender, have the legal right to foreclose on the property if the borrower fails to make the payments. To sum up, personal loans to family members can be extremely beneficial, especially to young folks, but they're not without certain risks, and it's important to understand those before going in. Much more to come just around the corner, including your questions. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. I love a good book, always have, but there was a time in my life when I lacked the discipline to put the book down when I needed to. I'd often stay up reading for hours into the night. Eventually, I had to admit my habit had become unhealthy. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? Reading? Unhealthy? But anytime something good becomes something ultimate in our hearts, it's a problem. Sometimes with practical implications, like waking up tired, but there are spiritual implications too, because only Jesus deserves our ultimate affections, and He's the only one who can satisfy the deepest longings of our hearts. As Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Anchor Devotional can help you keep your eyes on Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
My grocery bill went up 11% this year. Gas, utilities, rent, all went up. But my paycheck, the same. I also pay for my own healthcare, a huge expense. A friend recommended Christian Healthcare Ministries as an option to insurance, and CHM helps pay for medical needs while allowing some breathing room in my budget. Open enrollment is here, so make the switch today with potential cost savings up to 40%. Christian Healthcare Ministries at chministries.org/faithfi.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Well, we're so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Boy, I look forward to this hour every day as I have the opportunity to come alongside you, to encourage you, to point you back to God's Word, help you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. You see, folks, you and I, we have a high calling as it relates to our stewardship of God's money. That's right, it all belongs to Him. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That's what Psalm 24:1 tells us. And therefore, we're stewards, and money is now a tool to accomplish God's purposes. It's morally neutral. It's not good or bad. The question is, how are we going to use it? Are we going to hold it loosely? Are we going to allow it to compete with our affection and devotion to God Himself? Because remember, the Bible says you cannot serve God and money. And I don't think that was an accident that those two things were put alongside one another, because if something is going to compete with our affection and devotion to the Lord, I would submit it's most often going to be money and the things that money can buy. So how do we develop an eternal perspective as it relates to our money? Well, that's what we want to help you do on this program each day, to help you see your resources, God's resources that you're managing, through the lens of Scripture, applying a biblical worldview. That's what we do with all of our programming here at American Family Radio, and that certainly includes God's money. We're going to begin in Western New York with Michael. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Rob. It's a pleasure. With my homeowner's insurance rates are climbing, I had a concern on being overinsured. Is there some flexibility with replacement cost, or is it firm on square footage?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, the key is you don't want to be underinsured, but certainly you don't want to be overinsured either. And so, you know, I think visiting with your agent just to talk about what does my policy actually cover and what is a realistic replacement value for my home, and am I properly insured, overinsured, or underinsured? Obviously, you know, there are ways to get that premium down. Interestingly, increasing your credit score is one of them. Most people don't know this, but insurers often use something called a credit-based insurance score to set rates for individual customers, which is similar to a traditional credit score. If you have poor credit, you could be paying as much as 60% more for insurance than somebody with a good score. Apart from that, increasing your deductible, as long as you have that money in your emergency fund, and then other things like combining auto and home, you know, don't make small claims, have smoke detectors and burglar alarms, things like that. So, you know, obviously those are things you can do to try to, you know, push down on that premium that you're paying every year. Fortunately, New York is actually, you know, just comparatively speaking, relatively inexpensive when it comes to homeowners insurance. But as to the appropriate amount to cover replacement, if something were to happen catastrophic to your home, I would visit with your agent on that and then just see. Perhaps you talk to a contractor or two that you trust, maybe somebody from your church, on, you know, what is the proper per square foot amount that I need. And what you may find is, you know, you're right on the money, or, you know, maybe you have a little bit more than you need. With, you know, housing prices and construction costs up where they are these days, I suspect you're probably not overinsured if you do a deeper dive into it, but it's worth checking out.
Okay. And then how do you know or be comfortable with how high of a deductible to go with to save some money?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think the key is you want to make sure that you have at least, you know, what you are putting on your deductible in your emergency fund. The average home insurance deductible is $1,000. You can go all the way up to five. Again, I would want to make sure that, you know, you have at least that in your emergency fund. So I would say, you know, between $1,000 and $2,000, you know, I'd be comfortable with you pushing it up to $2,000 to try to save some money on your premiums, maybe even $2,500. I wouldn't recommend you go beyond that, but the key is just make sure you've got that money available if you need to use it.
Okay, Rob, thank you so much. You've been a lot of help.
All right. Absolutely, Michael. Thanks for your call today, sir. To Pennsylvania, Greencastle. Hey, Mark, go ahead.
Hi, Rob. I've been listening here for over 30 years and have followed your advice and principles for that long, and you have me in pretty good shape.
Wow. Well, thanks, Mark. Yeah, you must have been a Larry Burkett listener back in the day, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I look forward every day to listening.
Awesome. Thanks.
I am 68. I have not drawn my Social Security yet. We're not in the need of doing that at this point. What I wanted to know, if I would start drawing my Social Security, put it into an interest-bearing account, something low risk, of course, CDs or whatever, then when I reach age 70, pay all of that money back. I'll keep my interest that I've accrued, pay that money back for the one-time Social Security benefit increase, and just go from there. Would that be a good idea?
Yeah. And so the idea is you're going to get the interest while you're waiting and then pay it back, keep the difference, and then try to get, you know, the automatic increases on that?
Correct.
Is that what you're thinking?
I'm not sure what I'm drawing or would draw right now, but if it's like 2000 now, in a couple of years, it'll be 2300. So, you know, I would pay all of that back and then start drawing that higher benefit.
Interesting. Yeah. You know what? This is a good one, Mark. And I'm hesitant to weigh in because, you know, there's just a lot of nuances to the Social Security Administration. What I don't know is, you know, whether you'd be able to just pay back only what they gave you.
you know, less any kind of interest of any kind, and then automatically jump up to that higher benefit amount. I mean, I see where you're going with this, and, you know, and potentially it's a bit of a loophole there where you could, you know, get it paid out, you collect the interest, hang on to the, you know, the amount they paid you plus the interest, only pay back just what they paid you, and then jump up to a higher amount and collect that for the rest of your life. The question is, I don't know whether that's permissible. And so let's do this. I'm going to have the team check into that, and either later in the program today or on one of the episodes this week, I'll give you our thoughts. Does that sound fair?
That sounds fair enough.
All right. That sounds great.
Okay.
But what I would all say right. is if that's not possible, then because you don't need the money, by all means, you know, it makes sense for you to leave it there, not take that
right.
benefit, let it continue to grow to 70. But if you can kind of double dip, so to speak, potentially there's an option there. We'll kick that around a bit more. Let me think about it. We'll also check the rules and then get back to you. Hey, Mark, thanks
all
for
right.
your call and for your kind remarks about the program, sir. We appreciate it. Thanks very much. All right. Hey, I don't have time to take another call before the break here. So Laura, Wilmer, stay right there. We'll get you after the break. Let me take just an opportunity, though, to comment on something that trips up a lot of our listeners. And it's what you might call variable income budgeting. And this is where you don't have a consistent income. Now, listen, it's more important than ever to be budgeting with high inflation. We need a spending plan. But if you're on a variable income, here's what you need to do. Take the average monthly income that you got for the last 6 months and then draw up your estimated budget based on that number. Then as your income varies, it's really important that you save the excess in months where you earn more. And then you, you build up that to pull it in when you earn less. And then with any kind of budget, the key is to smooth that out and spend less than you earn. Try that. See if that doesn't help you. A quick break and back with much more on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Stick around.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice. And is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day. Banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your questions. All the lines are full, so sit back and enjoy. We've got some great questions coming up. To Washington we go. Hi, Laura. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for answering my call. This is probably kind of an unusual question for your program, but I am looking for a reputable coin dealer. I was given some valuable coins from a relative that passed away, and the closest large city I live close to would be Spokane, Washington, but I don't know of any reputable dealers, and I know that there's some out there that are and some that aren't, so I would just like to get a true estimate of what the coin collection is worth.
Yeah, very good. Well, a couple of things. I mean, first of all, I wish I had a name to give you. I don't. We don't have an underwriter or haven't done due diligence on individual coin dealers, so I could say this one would be better than another. So unfortunately, it's where you're going to have to do a little bit of digging. But I can send you to a few places that may help at least get you pointed in the right direction. Number one is I would say that, the internet's going to be helpful here, because before I worked with anybody, I'd read a lot of reviews just to make sure, I'm getting positive reviews. Number two, I think this is where the Better Business Bureau can come in. Take it with a grain of salt, read a lot of reviews with it, but it's one additional factor you could use, BBB.org, and then just search for coin dealers. There is an association for what's called numismatists, and that's the term for essentially coin grading and collecting. And it's the American Numismatic Association. You'll find them. The website is just simply money.org. And at least if you find a dealer in their directory, that they've at least, taken some steps to be involved in kind of the largest, organization for the numismatic organization and dealers. So I would go there, money.org. But, that's about as far as I would be able to take you in terms of getting you to somebody that, giving you an actual name, which I can't do, but at least, hopefully that'll help you narrow down the list there in Spokane or wherever you can find someone close by.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Happy to do it, Laura.
And God bless your organization.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. God bless you. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Hi, Wilmer. How can I help?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Rob. Sure. I have an estate planning question. As a Christian, how far should one go to preserve assets for an inheritance, such as putting your home in a Medicaid asset protection trust to protect your home from Medicaid recovery if you end up being on Medicaid, having Medicaid pay for long-term care,
sure,
or taking other steps to avoid some of the spend down before Medicaid kicks in to pay for long-term care?
Yeah, very good. You raise an important question, and I appreciate you asking about it in light of a biblical worldview. There's basically four ways that you can pay for long-term care, which is very expensive. A semi-private room in a nursing home, I think the last time I looked at it, was approaching $100,000 a year. So this is probably the biggest risk we have in terms of eroding our assets in this season of life. And the four ways we can pay for it are with our own assets. Secondly, to purchase long-term care insurance, Medicare, but that's going to run out because that only pays for 100 days of nursing home or rehabilitative care. And then fourth is Medicaid when we spend down our assets. And you're asking about what's appropriate in terms of protecting those assets. And I would say, you know, first of all, I think this is a personal conviction that each one, you know, has to wrestle with and decide for him or herself. Second, we'd obviously never want to do anything that tries to get around the law. And so, for instance, you know, knowing there's the 5-year look back, do we, you know, try to, you know, move assets over to a family member or something and try to, you know, get past the 5-year look back? Well, I wouldn't feel good about that because we're in a sense trying to violate the laws that are already put in place with regard to, you know, what assets are counted and when Medicaid steps in. But there are ways legally that you can protect assets. And the key is that you have to give up control. So with a Medicaid asset protection trust, this is an irrevocable trust. So you're transferring assets into it to shield those assets, but you can't transfer it back out of the trust. You've lost control of them forever. And so, and the look back period applies here, but it is a viable way for you to protect assets for a variety of reasons. Similar with a life estate, which allows you to own real estate jointly with someone else, have it passed to them upon your death. In this case, your home family home would be excluded from the Medicaid means test, but they're irrevocable. So you can't change your mind and regain control of the real estate. And then a similar would be with a Medicaid annuity. So, you know, if you're willing to take those steps, I mean, those are very legal and viable ways for you to protect assets, so long as you've prayed it through and thought about it and come to the conviction that you're comfortable with that. But I think what's completely off limits is doing something that in a sense tries to find a loophole around the system or the rules and regs in place. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes, it does. Yeah. I appreciate okay. your, yeah, it's just something that we're wrestling with and, yeah, we definitely want to do, you know, what's right and God owns everything and we're managing it and we want to manage it according to his principles and, you know, even in retirement and
absolutely
in estate planning.
Yeah, well, I certainly appreciate
your
approach on that. Listen, Wilmer, stay on the line. I'm going to send you a copy of Ron Blue's book, Splitting Heirs. I think it's the best book, not on the mechanics and the legal instruments, but on kind of the why and the decision-making of wealth transfer. I think it'll be an encouragement to you. So you stay on the line. Our team will get your information. We'll drop Splitting Heirs in the mail to you from Ron Blue, and hopefully that'll help you as you're wrestling through some of these decisions on this last stewardship decision we'll make, which is wealth transfer. All right, we're going to take a quick break. As a reminder, we're not here today, but more of the questions we lined up in advance just around the corner. Stick around.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year, and for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Because of my past health history, finding affordable health care was nearly impossible. But then I found CHM, where costs are not adjusted based on medical history. Christian Healthcare Ministries even provides the freedom to choose my own providers. And the best part? CHM members pray for me. Too good to be true? It's not. I'm a proud member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, and if you think it could be right for you, learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Have you checked out the FaithFi app? I'd love for you to do that. We've got some big changes coming up in FaithFi 4.0, new features, a whole new look and feel. This is a great time for you to go ahead and download it, get into the app, set up your spending plan, check out the great content, the community, and get ready for the launch of the new FaithFi 4.0. You can check it out today or download it on our website, faithfi.com. Just click on app or head to your app store wherever you download apps and search for FaithFi, Faith and Finance. Let us know what you think. All right, we're going to go back to the phones to Lubbock, Texas. Hi, Diane. How can I help you?
Hi. I wished I'd heard all of the last one, but I'm trying to figure out. My parents died almost 3 years ago. There was a will that left everything to me for living with them and taking care of them. And my sister is contesting the will. She's not in the will at all. It has been a horrible financial burden because I've also been diagnosed with metastatic cancer. And I'm trying to figure out, my attorney tells me that I have to come up with $10,000 more before they can move forward with anything, because the judge has ordered a mediation before he'll even listen to the case. I've always had a strong faith in God, but lately it's on the edge.
Yeah.
But yeah. I need to know. I mean, how I have used all of my retirement. I turned 65 in a week, and I don't know where to go. You know, the medical bills are piling up, but that's the least of my worries. The house I've been paying the mortgage on for over 3 years now, and I just don't know where to go or what to do, and I don't want to be vengeful.
Yeah.
Like is happening on the, you know, because her goal is to get me out of this house that they left me. And I don't know how, I don't know where else to go to finances. It's ruined my credit. I have done a title loan on my car, so I'm making car payments again on a car that was paid for. I've maxed out my credit card. My credit rating is not good anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Diane, first of all, I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish what you were saying.
And a judge that doesn't want to listen to anything before a mediation, and an attorney that won't do a mediation until he's paid $10,000.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I appreciate that, and it obviously you're in a really difficult spot, both financially. I think the biggest thing is just how you navigate this spiritually, and I understand you've got questions, and you certainly don't want to, allow this to turn your heart away from the Lord. This is an opportunity to run to Him. You know, none of us are a stranger to suffering, and I realize we have no idea what you're facing right now. You're the one walking through it. What we do know that, as we live life and read our Bibles, it becomes apparent that suffering is a part of the human existence because we chose to go away from the Lord, starting with Satan deceiving Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve then choosing to violate God's commands, and now we are living tragically in a humanity that has chosen life apart from Him. Now, the good news is He sent His Son Jesus to reconcile us to Him, but we're still living in a fallen world. And it can cause, when we go through these really difficult seasons, us to ask a lot of hard questions. C.S. Lewis put it this way. Here's what he said. He said, "God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience, but He shouts in our pain. It's His megaphone to rouse a deaf world." And I think the big idea here is that God is not the author of evil, but He is sovereign over evil. And therefore, we can have hope that there will be a day when God will bring all evil to an end. And meanwhile, He determines to leave things the way they are in order that through our trials, we can cling to our Savior. So we don't want to let our disappointments over a life in a fallen world persuade us that God is not there or He doesn't care, because that's just not true. And what it needs to happen for all of us is that we allow our suffering to drive us to our Savior, who promises that one day all of this will come to an end. All that's wrong, all that separates us from Him, all that causes pain, and we will enjoy an eternity where everything is made right. And we can have hope in that day, and I realize the pain in the midst of that is very difficult, but God is there. He's bigger than all of it. He can be trusted. He loves you more than anything, and He will provide for you. Now, this is an opportunity for the body of Christ to step in as well and help to provide your need. And so I would hope that your church is rallying around you in this season. With regard to the contested will, I would say, either there needs to be some sort of mutual acceptable resolution with your sister that you all could work through. If that's not possible and you feel like the legal process is the only means by which you can do that, again, perhaps there's somebody that would help you financially in such a way that you could allow that process to play out. Ultimately, that's going to be your call, and we're going to trust that the Lord will provide. I would hope and pray that maybe there could be a process of reconciliation and a path forward that that you and your sister could work together on. Obviously, I know nothing about the details of this, so Diane, so I wouldn't presume to say you should do one thing or another. But I do know that God is bigger than all of this, and He loves you. And here's my hope and prayer, is that you would run of your Savior in the midst of these challenges, even when there's more questions than answers. And I believe that you will see God provide at perhaps just the time you weren't expecting it. And that's just the way the Lord operates. So let me pray for you. And what I'd like to do is connect one of our certified Christian financial counselors with you, at the very least, just to be an encouragement to you, to help you think through the financial implications. Obviously, they can't give you legal counsel, but they could help you think through how you navigate the financial piece of it. Let's pray. Father, we know in this world there will be tribulation, and we see it around us, we experience it, and we know yet you have overcome the world. And so today we tell you we love you and we trust you. I just ask that you'd work in Diane's life. Help her to see the path forward. Help her to feel your loving arms around her. Help her to bring and come to resolution with her sister in these legal matters. I pray for your provision in her life, that she would be able to find a way forward and meet her obligations and make hard decisions as they come. We trust you in that. We love you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Diane, stay on the line. We'll be right back.
We see and hear about the big public issues happening in our nation's capital, but what about the things that happen behind the scenes? That information can give us the whole story and help shape our opinions. That's why you need to listen to Washington Watch Weekend with Tony Perkins. He and his guests will give you all parts of the Washington news from a conservative Christian perspective. Catch Washington Watch Weekend Saturdays at 5:05 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, and Sunday mornings at 3 Central on AFR.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Well, in our final segment today, we're going to do something a bit different. We're going to talk about one of the incredible programs we have here at American Family Radio. You probably know it well, but if you haven't tuned in to Hannah's Heart, you're missing out. It's a wonderful program that airs Saturdays at 5 p.m., Sundays at 11 a.m. Central Time. And I'm joined today by Kendra White, the co-host of Hannah's Heart. Kendra, thanks for stopping by.
Hi, thank you so much for giving us a chance to talk about this awesome topic.
I'm delighted to shine a light on it. Set the stage for us. What is the heart behind Hannah's Heart, and why God has called you to this?
Yeah, so Hannah is, of course, based on Hannah in the Bible, who was one of the women who struggled with infertility.
Yeah.
And just, you know, begged God and pleaded to please give her a child. And as we really looked into her story, we liked that as a name for our ministry because, you know, she has this beautiful prayer that we read about when she gives Samuel back to God and just says, God, you are my rock. And we said, you know, we don't know for couples how God is going to answer their story. Like in what way is he going to provide for them? But we know that God is our rock and we can cling to him. And so we just really fell in love with her story. But Hannah's Heart is a radio show, podcast, and also just a ministry of a community to help Christian couples who are struggling with infertility or miscarriage to be able to cling to Christ during that incredibly difficult season of life. And the statistics are so high. It's 1 in 4 pregnancies that typically end in miscarriage. Mm. And it's over 1 in 8 couples that right now are struggling with infertility. And I had no idea that it was so high until my husband and I struggled with this. And then as we started Hannah's Heart, people just coming out of the woodwork that I've known my whole life, life that have had all of these private hidden struggles that have been impacting their life for a long time, that have been so vulnerable to say, hey, it's me as well.
Yes. Well, and you're giving people a place to work through that, to counsel them to return to Scripture, but also to know that they're not alone. As you know, Kendra, this can place a real strain on a marriage as well as they're going through this difficult season. Talk about what you've experienced and as you've engaged with listeners and callers around the strain that comes at this time and how you can help folks work through that.
There's so much strain that infertility and miscarriage puts on a marriage. And marriage is hard enough as it is, living in the culture that we live. So that you add on things like the cost of infertility treatments is astronomical. And when as a couple, you're trying to decide if you're on the same page, finances, you know, is such a divisive issue that causes so many problems in marriage. And I know you talk about finances a lot on this show and counseling couples. So we talk about that some on Hannah's Heart. And how do you know when is enough? At what point does is it God leading your decisions versus this desperate need that you have? And, you know, I think about Rachel in the Bible who said to her husband, she was like, I'm going to die if you don't give me sons. You know, and I can relate because there is something, and men and women are very different, but we recognize that sometimes men desire children as much as women do, but typically, in most of the people that we talk with, the woman has such a strong physical, emotional, and spiritual desire to nurture and have children. And that's just tied into so much of our identity that it can be really hard to process that and to realize that sometimes we can make motherhood an idol. And you're having to identify, Lord, is this an area of idolatry in my life? Is this the desire that you have for me? And then to be able to, it's so scary, but come to the foot of the cross and take your hands off of something that you have wanted your whole life and to truly surrender and give that to the Lord and say, God, I trust you even if this means we never have a child. And so just, you know, it's infertility, and that's a very niche-specific topic that we talk about on the show, but just going through trials and tribulations in life is something that all Christians face, and the lessons that I've personally learned through infertility have just grown me as a believer. And when I look on my husband and I, my husband, Eric, is such a handsome, wonderful man. I love him so much. love of my life. He came into the picture a little later than I would have planned. God had other ideas for us. And then my husband is also, he's a paraplegic. So we did not know if his injury level was going to impact our ability to have children or not. So saying yes to a marriage, knowing like, Lord, okay, I'm trusting you you know that it's my desire to build a family, but I have to already lay this down by saying yes to this man. And as we started in on our journey, the Lord really showed me that infertility was the sharpest tool he had as a potter to help sever off a lot of my flesh and just cut off the junk and really help me fall in love with Jesus even more than I already was and cling to him. And so we love helping walk with other couples through that because we know that Jesus is right there.
Yes.
And that one, he is a good God. And like we talk about the goodness of God and there's a verse that says, you know, Lord, let me see your goodness in the land of the living. And so we don't know the end of the story if every couple's going to be able to have a biological child, but we can take to the bank God's goodness and that he's going to be with you through that storm. And so we like to focus on a lot of those characteristics of who God is and how, trustworthy he really is.
Kendra, I love that. You know, on our program, we talk often about that our ultimate goal is that everyone listening to the program would come away and understand that God is their ultimate treasure, right?
And
there's so much that can get in the way and become that idol, and money and the things that money can buy, and, you know, even the ability to have a child. I mean, it could be anything, right? And yet God is enough. And yet that doesn't replace our heart's desire. Mm-hmm. And so we talk about just the financial side of this, which clearly is a factor when it comes to infertility, mm-hmm. but it's also a factor when it comes to adoption. Mm-hmm. How do you counsel couples in terms of stepping back, working together, maybe where we're not on the same page as husband and wife, and then coming to a decision as to, okay, can we do this? Can we actually afford it? And how does that then order our steps from here?
Great question, because adoption is expensive as well. Yeah. So just to kind of set some numbers out there for couples, you know, we have some of the typical IVF procedures. You're looking at, you know, $20,000 per try. Adoption, you're looking at $20,000 to $45,000for a domestic, you know, adoption. And for some families, this feels like such an impossible thing. And they're saying, we're just trying to, you know, pay the rent and stay ahead here. Lord, how could we ever have this child? And then it does add a lot of extra strain, especially if you do have one spouse that desires to have a child stronger than the other. And they're like Rachel, who says, I'm going to die if I don't get this, you know, and then, often you might start pursuing one path and it proves to be unfruitful, you know, and then you've spent all this money and you still don't have that baby, and that desire hasn't gotten any less, you know, it's only grown. So, well, one of the things I've actually heard on your show, not to, you know, pull you in here, but, you talked about, how sometimes when we take on debt without praying first, that we deny the Lord an opportunity to first provide for us.
Yes.
And I love that when I heard you say that, I immediately was applying it to this area of, desiring to build a family, because I think sometimes we as humans, specifically we as women, we like to take control and make stuff happen. So it's like, all right, I'm going to call the doctor and then we're going to go to A, B, C, D. We're going to do this. And there is an aspect of being proactive about building your family that is important and has to happen. But I think the first step should always be coming to the Lord and asking him, what is his plan and how does he want to provide for his plan? Because if it's his will and his plan for you, then, the burden is on his shoulders and you're just coming on to team God to say, okay, God, how do you want to build our family? And I love that he is so creative in the ways that he moves. And, I can't give couples a specific as far as this is the number of tries or this is the fertility treatment you need to go with. I think that's a personal decision between God and that individual that they have to really ask him. But there are godly principles that we can use to kind of guide, you know, I don't think God wants you to dig yourself so deeply into debt over trying to do this. And, you know, for me and my husband, we've seen God move in some really creative ways. And it's been a combination of us buckling down the budget and saving and making some sacrificial decisions, but also the incredible provision of God, where we were like, how is there extra money at the end of the month? Lord, where is this coming from? And people giving us gifts and side job opportunities popping up. So God is so good, and he is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or imagine.
Oh, that's so good, Kendra. Well, I'm so delighted we had a chance to spend a few minutes together. I know that either somebody listening today needed to hear this and can't wait because they've found their community in Hannah's heart. They needed that encouragement, or they know somebody who does. And so I'm delighted that we had a chance to tell folks about this incredible program. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us today.
Thank you as well.
That's Kendra White. She's co-host of Hannah's Heart, and this is a program, a radio show, and a podcast to encourage Christian couples struggling with infertility or miscarriage. You can tune in to the podcast anytime and to the show, which airs Saturdays at 5 p.m., Sundays at 11 Central Standard Time. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us today. Let me say thanks to my team, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Make God your ultimate treasure and come back and join us next time. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.